Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back. We are back on the air.
Yeah, feature that.
Last week, you guys were treated to an anniversary show. But it seems like we have vanquished our radio gremlins. If you checked out caffeinatedthoughts.com, I wrote a story last week about I had to explain why we didn't have a new show for 3 weeks. Obviously, part of that was expected with the move with the radio studio. And Chris Roloff, the station manager here at the Truth Network 99.3 FM, told me a story, something that his wife learned, and actually she's gone to broadcast school as well. I didn't realize that, but they had a class.
I didn't either.
Yeah, he said. Well, we had there was one class on moving a studio, and they basically said, "Don't." So, Ron, how long has KTIA had this equipment been running nonstop? Just approximately.
Oh, at least 10 years.
10 years, equipment running nonstop, and suddenly you shut it down and move it. Obviously, some things weren't going to go right, and we experienced some radio gremlins last week. So, but happy that we are on the air and antennas up, and I don't think the signals move south yet, but that's going to be happening here shortly.
Yeah, don't say things like gone south.
Well, things will always go south on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Anyway, just nature of the beast. And I was going to say I missed you last week, but nobody realized you were gone. So
yeah, but, well, that kind of thing happens frequently in my case. But no, you know what? Because I was in Indiana, I didn't get to hear the show last week. I liked that anniversary show. I would have liked to have heard that again. So that's probably going to be better than whatever we come up with today.
Oh, well, that's because it'd be our fault, not the guest that we have on the line.
Well,
true. Yes, we have a special guest, Bruce Weichs. He is the Ruth and Lovett C. Peters Fellow in Education with Pioneer Institute. He completed a master's degree in politics and political philosophy in 2014 through the Van Andel Graduate School of Statesmanship at Hillsdale College. That's a mouthful. Writing a thesis on the legacy impacts of progressive education theories in the early 20th century. His prior academic career includes master's degree in Middle East history through the University of Texas at Austin, as well as a bachelor's degree in history from the University of Guam and associate's degree in educational and instructional technology from the Community of College of the Air Force and in Christian studies from Wayland Baptist University. He is a career Air Force officer who completed nearly 23 years of active duty service in 2011. He recently wrote a paper called for the Pioneer Institute called Support and Defend, the K-12 Education of Military-Connected Children. That's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Bruce.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this topic.
Hey, very welcome. And first of all, I wanted to say thank you for your service.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Definitely. We appreciate those who invest blood, sweat, and tears in service of this nation, and also, you know, your family is sacrificed as well. So we really appreciate that.
And
so
in this case, 23 years of active duty service—that's big time. So yeah. Thanks, Bruce.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I mean it when I say that I consider it to have been my honor to have served in this to support and defend our Constitution and this great country.
So just jumping into our topic at hand, first of all, for a lot of our listeners who probably are not aware, what is the Department of Defense education activity?
DoDEA came about in 1993, but there's some background that goes all the way back to 1821 when General Winfield Scott published his General Regulations for the Army, and that became the first kind of comprehensive and systematic regulations for the U.S. Army. Prior to that, they'd been working off what was called the Blue Book that had been written by Baron von Steuben, who helped General Washington train the men at Valley Forge.
Mm-hmm.
And that policy that was put in effect by General Scott back in 1821 kind of governed how attendants would be educated all the way up until about World War II. There's changes, and I detail that in the paper, but in general, and starting after World War II, the military opted to allow families to travel overseas with the military member, and this necessitated the creation of overseas schools.
Mm-hmm.
At the highest level, there were more than 160,000 students per year in what came to be called DOD schools, or the Department of Defense Dependent Schools overseas. The second half of that history of DODEA is the stateside schools, what were called Section 6 schools and later domestic dependent elementary and secondary schools. And these were created for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it was because the military members weren't contributing to the local tax base. So the school was created in, to provide the education because there were restrictions in the local community. Sometimes the local schools weren't adequate. And sometimes it actually had to do with the fact that the military was diverse and they were moving people of different racial and ethnic backgrounds around into communities where that would create uncomfortable situations. So they had the on-base schools. But by 1993, both of those, the overseas and the stateside, were all merged together under the Department of Defense Education Activity, and they have three areas, Europe, Pacific, and the Americas. And of the 1.2 active duty military-connected kids of active duty who have active duty parents, about between 80 and 86,000, depending on when you look, are currently enrolled in DODEA schools.
Okay. Just a rough estimate of how many kids are there that's represented, military-connected children that, totally.
It depends on how you do the numbers. It changes. It's a fluid number because people are entering and leaving active duty, and some of the active duty go into the Guard or Reserve. But the estimate right now is around 1.2 million military-connected kids who have one or both parents being active duty, and that jumps to 2 million when you look at military-connected kids who have either a mom, a dad, or both who are active duty, Guard, or Reserve.
Right, especially now that they tend to be deployed more often
than
they used
to be. That is a whole lot of children. Wow.
Yes, and then if you limit it just to Afghanistan or Iraq, then you have more than 2 million children who have one or both parents who served in Afghanistan, Iraq, or both. And that's rolling in to people who are no longer military. That looks at your veterans as well, but there's a lot of kids who currently are or have been part of the military structure.
Wow. So what prompted you to write this paper?
Well, part of it, the largest part of it, I guess, was that, I have a background in the military, and we used a variety of educational formats, my wife and I, when we were raising our children on active duty. But there have been assertions that the Common Core standards are the end-all, be-all to solve all problems for military-connected kids, and I suspected that that was grossly overstated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, based on the research that I have in the paper, it shows that that is grossly overstated.
Because policy analysts claim that they may help military families, but there were some clear successes with military-connected children prior to Common Core. What were some of those?
Well, DODEA has adopted Common Core, but prior to the implementation of Common Core, DODEA students excelled beyond the national averages on almost every assessment you look at, whether you're looking at the NAEP, the National Assessment of Education Progress, the Nation's Report Card, whether
mm-hmm.
you're looking at SAT scores or Terra Nova scores. They consistently score above the national averages, and even when you do the identity group breakout that people in education circles are quite fond of doing, and you try to track progress by either socioeconomic status or racial or ethnic group status, DODEA students, by and large, tend to fare better than their national counterparts.
What do you think that is?
Pardon?
Why do you think that occurred prior to Common Core?
I think it was because there was an understanding of the challenges and the struggles that military families face. There's an understanding of the complexities that result from military moves and military dynamics and the military work schedule. And I think also there was a commitment on the part of DOD to fund those schools at appropriate levels and with qualified teachers who understood dynamic. So it's a combination, you know, a commitment, I guess, to meeting the needs of the military kids would be a way to kind of capture that in a single statement.
And this is kind of a question kind of out left field. It just popped in my mind. Does DODEA deal with teachers unions like other public schools deal with teachers unions?
I can't speak to that from the research that I did on this paper because I didn't look at that particular question. But my understanding is that, yes, there are teachers unions that factor into how that works, particularly stateside, but I believe also in some overseas locations.
Okay, going back to the paper, as you dug into this issue, what were some of your primary findings?
Well, the interesting thing was that when you look at whether or not Common Core can assist or will assist military students, I don't think so. I'm very suspicious of the assertions that it will help military-connected children. When you look at it from a demographic standpoint, it is true that military families move more often, particularly active duty military families move more often than their civilian counterparts. The estimates are 6 to 9 moves K through 12.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start digging into how long are people on active duty, it's usually 10 years or less, and they start having children early, and the numbers show that 41%, 42%, 43% of active duty military connected children are preschool age, and only 16% are high school age. And then there's another report that came out in 2012 from the Military Child Education Coalition, which unfortunately has so far advocated for Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
But their report did identify that more than half of the active duty military connected children were 7 years old or younger. So clearly Common Core which is supposed to help with all the transitions for college and career readiness and is referenced a lot at the high school level, is not going to have as big an impact for military connected kids as is being advocated. And then when you look at where are military families stateside, two of the top five states for active duty presence didn't even adopt Common Core. So 20% of military families are in states that didn't adopt Common Core. And those same two states are in the top 10 for Guard and Reserve military presence as
right.
well.
So
I don't think when you look at the demographics and the numbers that it's very helpful. And then I think if you look at, there has been a huge recognition, particularly since Operation Enduring Freedom, the conflict in Afghanistan, and Operation Iraqi Freedom, with the things that are going on in Iraq, there has been a greater recognition of the sacrifices made by military families, and there's been a lot of effort and energy and programs and money thrown at the question of how do we help military-connected children in a lot of different ways, but also with regard to education. So there's some other programs in place that actually mm-hmm. do better than Common Core. There's things like the Interstate Compact on the Education of Military Children, which is designed to specifically to help military-connected children who are in transition with, you know, frequent moves as well as parental deployments, and it can assist with things like resolving enrollment rules differences, eligibility for when you start kindergarten, placement, attendance, transferring records, academic and extracurricular eligibility, and even graduation and graduation requirements.
Bruce, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I was saying the other thing is all that success that we talked about with DODEA mm-hmm. in 2007 under the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act, DODEA was authorized to reach out to other schools, non-DODEA schools that have military-connected children. So under their outreach programs, they are now able to reach out to 92% of the students who aren't in DODEA schools. And they do that through grants, and some of these grants are for things like the National Math and Science Incentive that's mm-hmm. trying to increase advanced placement courses for military families. They manage impact aid. They share curriculum. They help teachers and regular public schools with some of their programs that they use to prepare their teachers for the challenges that are faced by military-connected kids. They help those schools have access to the Military and Family Life Counselor Program, which is designed to help with some of the non-academic stuff that affects your performance in academics. So there's a lot of other programs that are out there that can help.
Bruce, I gather from what you said earlier that there are a whole lot of children then that are just in the beginning stages of their educational experience. And I'm curious, yes. What's your assessment of how they're doing right now?
Well, that's the tricky part. It's very hard to assess the performance of military-connected kids because they're not in any way identified as a subgroup in any of the tracking systems or academic performance measures that are out there. Some school districts have opted to do that of their own initiative, and mm-hmm. some states are creating identifying codes of their own initiative, but there's nothing that's unified across the board to make meaningful comparisons. In fact, that was one of the challenges of the paper. I had to do two small case studies. I had to look at DoDEA, which is, you know, largely military-connected kids, and I had to also look at some homeschooling results to come up with the assessment. And the assessment is that military-connected children seem to be doing as good or better than their peers in most cases. The biggest weakness that seems to exist is in the area of mathematics, because mm-hmm. frequent moves seem to be more disruptive to the mathematical learning than to other areas.
That would make sense.
Yeah, definitely. We got like one minute left. Do you know which assessment consortia DoDEA is a part of, as far as Smarter Ballot? Do you know which Common Core Assessment Consortia DoDEA is a part of, or are they going to take Smarter Balance to PARC, or none of the above?
I don't know that answer.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just kind of, again, one of those random questions that popped in my head. I wasn't sure if they signed on to one of those, so that would be interesting to see how implementation of a computer adaptive assessment's going for them. And anyway, we are out of time, Bruce.
Thanks
you
for coming
so much.
On, Bruce.
Check out Pioneer. Pioneerinstitute.org to learn more. They have all sorts of white papers up there. And this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last 2 or 3 decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
And I was trying very hard not to look at Brian because I could see him in my peripheral vision, and that was starting to crack me up. So anyway, I missed the air drums, this is the first time
in a new studio.
I wish I had it in
with some serious air drumming.
Yes, and you were very serious.
Your head turned into a cymbal there for a little bit.
I saw that. Okay. I was a little worried, because I saw your hand coming toward me. just in the corner of my eye.
The drumstick is an air drumstick. Just remember that. Okay, buddy.
That is true. That is true.
So what are we doing here now anyway?
What? You don't know?
No.
Oh, well.
Well, I guess I do.
Yes. Look at your production notes. Yeah. I just want to take time and take the what actually a segment to it. The shooting in Charleston that happened on, Wednesday evening. Yeah, just if you're not aware, Clementa Pinckney was the pastor of Emmanuel AME, which is African Methodist Episcopal Church. They refer to it a lot in Charleston as Mother Emmanuel. It's the oldest AME church in the South. He was gunned down, and eight other members of the church were murdered by a gunman during a Bible study and prayer service at the church. Pinckney was also a Democratic member of the South Carolina Senate, representing four different counties. Charleston's on the coast, obviously, but representing right in the Charleston area. The names were finally released. They weren't released for a while, but the coroner in Charleston finally released the names, and we have in addition to Clementa Pinckney, Pastor Pinckney, Cynthia Hurd, she was a regional branch manager for the Charleston County Public Library System. Sharonda Coleman Singleton, also church pastor, speech therapist, and she was coach of the girls' track and field team at Goose Creek High School. Tawanza Sanders, who had a degree in business administration from Allen University, where Pinckney also attended his for school. Ethel Lance, she was a retired Gilliard Center employee who worked as recently as a church janitor. Susie Jackson, longtime church member. DePayne Middleton Doctor, a retired director of a local community development block grant program. Myra Thompson, also another pastor of the church, and Daniel Simmons Sr., a pastor who died in the hospital operating room.
This thing was so tragic at so many levels. And the way I understand it, this guy wanders into the church, and he stays there.
Stays there for an hour.
You know, while the Bible study's going on, maybe prayer, I don't know what. And then he pulls out a gun and opens up on these guys. It's incomprehensible.
And he's in custody, and this 21-year-old Dylan Roof, who some of his college acquaintances, you know, said he had associations, it's been a while since I looked at the story, but basically there are definitely some racial overtones present with him. And so I would say, you know, I think it's safe to say this was racially motivated crime.
I don't think it's a good idea to run away from that.
No.
I mean,
no.
Why would you do that?
Right. And I know a lot of people want to, you know, the feds are involved because they're doing President Obama encouraged a FBI to open up a hate crime. Or I don't know exactly who got that ball rolling, but
they launched
the Justice Department got a hate crime investigation started. I don't really see, you know, murder is a hate crime, period. I don't really care who the parties are involved. And I'd say the same with if it was a black shooter and white people. It doesn't make the crime, in my mind, any more heinous. The people are still gone. They're ripped from their families. It's horrible, horrible. Even more horrible that this happened, you know, in a church during a service.
I agree. Look, this guy, apparently there's not any doubt that he did it.
Okay? Right.
Assuming this is the guy, he killed these people, he needs to be found guilty, and he needs to have the death penalty.
I believe South Carolina does have the death penalty.
Now, for me, though, I think this whole business of a hate crime I think there's a lot of unintended consequences with hate crime legislation, and I don't think it's a very good idea. For one thing, I don't want the government determining what hate is.
Right. And frankly, this murder is murder. It doesn't, and assault is assault, and the motivation behind it, I don't think, you know, it doesn't change the ultimate outcome.
No. No. This so it, regardless of this, if this guy was a deranged nitwit, you know, or you know, or if he was, you know, a Ku Klux Klan member, six of one, half dozen of the other, he still went in there and created havoc, you know, and killed all these people in, right. in this incomprehensible way. That's really what's important.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
President Obama on Thursday morning released. He actually gave us a statement, and for the first part of it was appropriate and kind of what you expect. But then things kind of went south. Clip one, please.
Communities like this have had to endure tragedies like this too many times. We don't have all the facts, but we do know that once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun. Now is the time for mourning and for healing. But let's be clear. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency. And it is in our power to do something about it. I say that recognizing the politics in this town foreclose a lot of those avenues right now. But it'd be wrong for us not to acknowledge it. And at some point, it's going to be important for the American people to come to grips with it. And for us to be able to shift how we think about the issue of gun violence collectively.
All right. Obviously, following Rahm Emanuel's admonition, never let a crisis go to waste.
Yep. They don't waste any time, do they?
No, they don't. Here's some facts about South Carolina, folks. South Carolina actually has some of the strictest gun control laws in the South. They do not allow open carry. They require a criminal background check before you get a concealed carry permit. They require, yeah, I can't remember. There's several hoops you have to jump through before you can actually get a permit. It's not something that it's not as easy as say, you know, it's not like Alaska carry where you don't even need a permit, you don't need to check in with anybody. It's probably even more restrictive than in Iowa. Because you can do open carry, generally not recommended. There are no background checks involved, as far as I'm aware. I'm sure somebody will let me know if I'm wrong about that. But the thing is, and this is something we were talking about prior to going on the show, Brian, is that criminals will find a way to get guns. If this person wanted to kill, you know, a bunch of people, he or she will find a way to do it regardless of what your gun control laws are.
Well, and that presupposes that you have to use a gun.
Right.
I mean, this person could have easily have walked in there with a briefcase with a pipe bomb in it.
Right.
I mean, it
absolutely. He could have come in with machete.
It just happens to be the gun is handy.
If you're facing people who are unarmed, you don't need to have that much more of an advantage to be able to kill people. And also, too, a couple of at least one statement that President Obama made that's totally just totally wrong is he said that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. Did he forget what happened in France?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sweden? Great Britain just recently had a mass shooting. This is not isolated to the United States. You know, maybe you know, so one could argue maybe it happens a little more frequently here. I would submit it generally happens in states with tough gun control laws.
Well, you know, this gets argued frequently after these sorts of events, but it's still true. If one of the people in that Bible study was carrying, you'd have a decent opportunity to put a couple in that guy before he ever had a chance to kill this many people.
Right, right. And the thing is, the thing that disappoints me the most about this whole discussion is this is not the time. Not 24 hours hadn't even passed. This is a time where we need to be praying for the victims, the victims' families, their friends, Emmanuel AME Church, because they're going. I can't even imagine being a member of that church, having knowing nine of my brothers and sisters in Christ were slain. And just, you know, I'm thinking what the kids in that region are thinking and feeling when they're going to church. Is like, church is normally a safe place to go. Yeah, and suddenly, it doesn't seem so safe anymore.
And the president's got a fairly lengthy statement that he's made here. It says here, now is the time for mourning and for healing. So he's got, I don't know, what's he got there, 7 or 8 words?
Right.
All the rest
well,
of his.
most of his statement was fine. He also, I don't want to play the clip because I don't know if we have enough time, but he went on to talk about it being, you know, a black church. He said the fact this took place in a black church obviously also raises questions about a dark part of our history. This is not the first time that black churches have been attacked, and we know that hatred across races and faiths pose a particular threat to our democracy and our ideals. The good news is I'm confident that an outpouring of unity and strength and fellowship and love across Charleston today from all races, from all faiths, from all places of worship indicates the degree to which those old vestiges of hatred can be overcome. I agree. It's just the outpouring, and I find it interesting he said from across all political parties, mm-hmm. too, because all the presidential candidates on the GOP side made statements and released statements and said they're praying for the people in Charleston.
But whenever we have one of these events, he makes it worse.
Exactly. I mean,
he does not help. He's talking about gun control. He's talking about race relations.
He could be bringing hope and healing, but instead he's a divisive force. Let's go and play. Well, okay, we only have a couple minutes left, so I don't want to play Rand Paul's clip. I'm just going to read it. He spoke at the Faith and Freedom Coalition annual conference. He was spot on. He said, we had a shooting. This was Thursday morning. We had a shooting this morning. Actually, it was Wednesday evening. What kind of a person goes into a church and shoots 9 people? There's a sickness in our country. There's something terribly wrong, but it isn't going to be fixed by your government. It's people straying away. It's people not understanding where salvation comes from. I think if we understand that, we'll have better expectations of what to expect from government.
Amen, brother.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. You are not going to find... There is no such thing as a sanctuary in a fallen world. You could do all the gun control in the world that you want, but we live in a fallen world with sinful, fallen, depraved people who are evil, who will do stuff like this.
But it goes farther than that, because what's happening here is liberalism has destroyed the culture. It's certainly destroyed, the president was speaking about race and so on and so forth. Liberalism has gone a long way to destroy the moral fabric of his community.
Right.
There's no question in my mind. And then, after liberalism does that to the culture, then they step in and say, you know, more of the same is the answer.
Right.
And an attack on the constitutional rights of the people.
Right.
That's the answer.
What will solve this problem? Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Okay, that's not politically correct.
No.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it.
He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last 2 or 3 decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. And we have our news roundup, and the first item on to talk about is a new Gallup poll that shows Democrats in U.S. shift to the left. In other news, water is wet.
Sky is blue.
Yep. Anyway, it says Democratic candidates for the 2016 presidential nomination face a significantly more left-leaning party base than their predecessors.
Significantly, not slightly.
Than their predecessors did over the last 15 years. 47% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents now identify as both socially liberal and economic moderate or liberal. This is compared with 39% in these categories in 2008, when there was last open seat for the party's nomination, and 30% in 2001. This combined group of Democrats consists of 25% who are pure liberals, meaning they identify as liberal on both social and economic issues, which means they really need a lot of prayer. And then 22% who
need to be deported to Europe.
Well, yeah. And 22% who are social liberals but moderate on the economy. At the other end of the ideological spectrum, a scant 7% of Democrats are socially and economically conservative.
All right, stop right
and
there.
I would like
stop
to say right that 7%. There. What the heck are you doing in the Democrat Party?
I think this is a skewed poll at this point. 7%? Give me a break. 7% of Democrats socially and economically conservative?
You think that's too high or too low?
I think that's really high.
Yeah, well, no, I could see it in the South.
Maybe.
There are people who
I don't know.
There
buddy.
Are people. Well, they're
7%.
That's your remnant of blue draw. Those are your Reagan Democrats. Those are your blue dog Democrats. These are the people who
those guys.
I've grown up. Well, there apparently some still at least who
7%.
Identify as Democrats
wow.
still.
Okay.
Say, hey, I'm part of the party and I'm socially and economically conservative, which that would have to be a frustrating place to be. I just kind of like being in a blown, you know, even though it's probably a little bit easier to be in the Republican Party being a liberal as our party evolves.
Lurches to the left.
Yeah. But it still would probably be pretty frustrating. Anyway, so that you got that. So basically, we as a nation are incredibly polarized. No news there. Again, water's wet, sky's blue. Next piece of news, some of you probably already heard this week, and we had an article on caffeinatedthoughts.com. Alexander Hamilton has been voted off the island. Or excuse me, off the $10 bill. Actually, I can't even say he's been voted. I don't know what process decided to get rid of Alexander Hamilton, but he will not be on the $10 bill. It's going to be a woman instead. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew announced Wednesday that a newly redesigned $10 bill will feature a woman replacing Alexander Hamilton. The U.S. Treasury Department said Lew will select a notable woman with a focus on celebrating a champion for our inclusive democracy. The new bill will roll out in 2020, marking the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, which is women's suffrage, you know, giving women right to vote.
Can we just reread that?
Right.
With a focus on celebrating a champion for our inclusive democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Warning, Will Robinson. Warning. Danger, danger.
But usually there's a group within the Treasury Department that makes these kind of recommendations. But instead, Lew's going to the public, and he's saying feedback can be given on social media using the hashtag #new10, which is the numeral 10, not spelled out, or by visiting thenew1010.treasury.gov. First of all, a couple comments I just want to make. I'm amazed that the architect of our central banking system and the architect and basically creator of Wall Street and the author of the Federalist Papers could not make the cut to stay on our currency.
Yeah, he was the first Treasury Secretary too.
Right.
I mean, this, and we're gonna put Margaret Sanger or some stupid, you know,
Billie Jean King.
Yeah. Well, I just
we're going to do something awful here.
If we're going to replace anybody, replace President Andrew Jackson. I mean, really.
Mm.
You know?
Well, you raised a good point earlier. What magic wand gets waved that such a change takes place? Is this something that the administration just has the power to do?
I believe. I mean, they can. And I'm assuming they're probably due for an update on the $10 bill, so they're going to go ahead and make this change.
Whatever. What a nightmare. Well, the money's going to be worthless soon, and this will be appropriate when that time comes.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, I suggested Susan B. Anthony. She's already been on the $1 coin. Might as well put her on the $10 bill. I think that would be a good choice and to be appropriate with what they're trying to accomplish. Or Elizabeth Katie Stanton would also be another choice. The first congresswoman from Montana, I can't remember her name, but she was voted in like shortly after the 19th Amendment was passed. She has been suggested as a person too. You know, that would be appropriate, I think. But if it ends up with Margaret Sanger, at first, if you make your suggestions, federal law requires the person to be dead. So don't be saying Hillary or Beyonce or, you know, something stupid like that. The person has to be dead. Okay. The person has to be dead.
All right. We got to roll here, buddy. So, we're going to be in trouble.
Yep.
We want to get this next one in.
Oh, yeah. It looks like important. Donald Trump won't be getting an endorsement from the Club for Growth. Shocker. His campaign had a press release on Thursday calling for the immediate resignation of Club for Growth President David McIntosh after a failed attempt to secure $1 million from Mr. Trump. Obviously, this is just hearsay, so I can't verify whether this is accurate. I didn't get a chance to contact Club for Growth for, you know, to talk about its accuracy. But in calling for Mr. McIntosh's immediate resignation, Mr. Trump says, "I'm appalled by Mr. McIntosh's shameless pandering and blatant shakedown attempt, exposing him and the Club for Growth as a fraud. Mr. McIntosh met with Mr. Trump and his representatives in New York City at Trump Tower on May 26th. During that meeting, he praised Mr. Trump for his business success and talked about the need for someone like Mr. Trump to be in Washington, D.C. He then talked about the Club for Growth and what it is doing. The meeting lasted approximately 30 minutes. 1 week later, Mr. Trump and political advisor Corey something or other, who's now his campaigning manager, received letters from Mr. McIntosh requesting $1 million of financial support for the Club for Growth. The letter to Mr. Trump states, as we both know, it is business owners who create jobs, not the government. Less than 14 days after sending his request for the $1 million, and after Mr. Trump did not give the money to Club for Growth and instead declared his candidacy, Mr. McIntosh attacked Mr. Trump, was critical of his candidacy, and said it would be unfortunate if Mr. Trump takes away a spot at even one Republican debate.
Oh, no. We want the Donald there.
Yeah. So
besides, he can build stuff.
Right.
He's
going
to build a wall the likes of which the world has never seen.
And here's, you know, I understand it's hard to take Donald Trump seriously as a candidate. And I'm not out there going to encourage people to caucus for him. I'm not making any endorsement right now. One thing, Donald Trump is talking about things that none of the other candidates have been willing to talk about. On the flip side, there's some past things with Donald Trump that everybody needs to be aware of. His stances on issues in the past have changed. Where he's donated money is certainly interesting.
Is running mates going to be Oprah?
And Oprah, you know, so there's some things to be concerned about. But he packed out Hoyt Sherman Place for his speech. He had 400 people come see him in Mason City. He is already ahead of a lot of candidates in the poll. He's already if the debates were held today, he'd qualify to be on the debate stage. I think it would be a mistake, and he can self-fund. It'd be a mistake to take him lightly.
So, no. Look, he's
a candidate.
He's going to say some things that resonate.
Right.
But as far as I'm concerned, he's there for comic relief.
I agree. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last 2 or 3 decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, playing air drums next to me. And we are toward the end of our show. This has gone fast. And I'm looking forward to, I'm so happy to be back on the air. I can't even say.
You're just happy because it appears that everything's working.
Right. Well, that's true. That's true. So
and
far,
now,
so good.
We have come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right. Everybody has heard this one already, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah,
but
unless
it, but
you
we
live
had
in
to
a
talk,
cave.
But we had to talk about it anyway.
Right. We had to. It's just like... appropriate. Black double N double ACP.
Wait. Black in quotation marks.
Oh, that's true.
We have entered the world of the surreal here, folks.
Yes. Anyway, she's since resigned, but the former president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington, was outed by her parents as a white woman. I'm sure you've heard this already. Rachel Dolezal, I think that's how you pronounce her
yeah,
name.
I think that sounds right.
Her parents claim that she's been deceiving people, and boy, has she been deceiving people. Just some things came out since, I last put these, because this was actually put, we put these together for last week, these production notes, but had to share this today. She has since called one of her adopted brothers, her child, because her brothers were, her parents adopted black children. She said she was a victim of different racially motivated hate crimes. She's also the professor of Africana Studies. I can't remember which university. It seems like her career has been built on a lie, but a lot of people want to just dismiss this story and some of the correlations that exist with transgenderism because she's like, well, she just lied. But you know what? The lady believes it.
That's
she
right.
She
is self-deceived.
She is black. So I basically what we're, people who believe that somebody can choose their gender should just embrace this because basically the logic is the same. The arguments are pretty much the same.
So, and a lot of people have, which we're going to speak to in just a moment.
Yeah. So why not? If you can choose your gender, why not be able to choose your race? Anyway, what was that poll you ran across?
Okay, yeah. MSNBC ran a poll to its five viewers. Oh, I guess maybe they have more than five. But anyway. They ran a poll.
They hired Brian Williams, so they must be great.
Okay, so they ran a poll. Apparently, 71% of their viewers think that transracialism, where do we get this stuff? Transracialism is okay. So they're right there with you, brother. They think it's, they're just as you do. Think it's the same thing. You can self-identify in any way.
You know, I'd say go full bore, and if you're going to really do it, embrace both. It's like, you know, it'd be like me. I'm now a Hispanic woman.
You don't look that way, though.
No.
Sorry, bud.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm very much WASP. So, anyway.
No, this stuff is just, it's gotten to the point where everything is so absurd. It's like, where do you start? Rationality is just gone.
Yeah.
Absolutely gone.
Absolutely. And just... Totally unrelated, but just back to the Brian Williams thing. I find it interesting that he's not good enough for NBC News, but he's okay for MSNBC.
He's been exiled to MSNBC. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that just too perfect?
Maybe the NBC
Brian
executives
going there to hang out with the freaks we got over there.
Maybe they know something about MSNBC too, and they're acknowledging that this is not a top par news media organization. So. Anyway,
our quote of the day is from John Owen. See in the meantime that your faith brings forth obedience, and God in due time will cause it to bring forth peace.
Hey, thanks for listening. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.